So I'm going to speak today on the art of living and dying. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksurun Malatam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Si Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadevor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from the Sun Falls, you know, my place upstate. And I come up here. It's not a place where I'm actively, I've been here, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, maybe 15, 20, I don't remember how long I've been here. Definitely over 15 years. I have a really nice place by the grace of Satchisutha and Kali Lalita. And I come up here and, you know, wash my own clothes, cook for myself. It's, you know, I have it's a place where I kind of regroup and study. I have my library here, do some writing. But now there's really a burgeoning spiritual development here. Krishna Kumari, we have Bhagavatam on Thursday even afternoon. There was about 12 or 15 people at the class, all good people. And not just coming to program, but studying, you know, scriptures, sacred texts. And so it was really wonderful. And on Saturday, that was yesterday, I gave a publicized talk. I met one lady in Vrindavan who's really come to Krishna consciousness. And just 20 minutes from me, she has a 50-acre family business, catering business, where they have, you know, they have two beautiful halls. One is in a barn. It's beautiful. We had my lecture there. So that's what I'm going to, that's what I speak about. So I'll just give you a little review because I think it's such an interesting subject. So I think even when I do get back to a specific text, which hopefully I'll decide within a month, still, if I give a particular lecture, I could share it with you. You know, something happened yesterday morning. That's how I started my lecture, and it really gave me some realizations. And you know, I work on these Monday morning greetings, and many of you are recipients of them. Probably most of the people on the, so they take a lot of work. And I really got into one last week called Chinese and Brooklyn Proverbs. I should make a disclaimer. You'll get it next. You'll see it tomorrow. But about the Brooklyn Proverbs. But I got fascinated. When I was staying at Hari Kirtan's, there was a book of Chinese proverbs in the guest room that I was staying at. So I worked on giving commentaries on them. And the proverbs, and then there was short little comments by myself. And I worked all week, and then yesterday morning I was about to send it to my editor, And I was about to send it to my editor, and I don't know, I pressed something, command something, a command save or command copy or something. And the most ironic thing is the thing I, you know, the article I wrote in English, Chinese proverbs turned to Chinese. I had no idea how. It was like a little English. I could see where I wrote, and then the rest was, it was, I didn't know if it just turned to Chinese. So writing is like a labor. And the finished piece is like a child. It's like giving birth. And there's so much joy and attachment, too. And what to speak, that it's Saturday morning, and I have to get it to the editor to keep up the consistency of Monday morning greetings when my articles come out. So it was like a death. And it dawned on me that life is death, and the end of life is death. The difference is there's a micro death and there's a macro death. Because they're really, in both cases, the same thing is happening with the same objective. And what is happening in both cases, micro death and macro death, what is happening is that the world is moving against your attachments and therefore attacking the false ego, which is the sense of superiority, which comes with control and that kind of enjoyment of the world that comes from control, because there's another type of enjoyment that comes from service. So so in one case, I just lost, there was a trauma of losing your writing piece. Miraculously, 8 hours later, it reappeared, but that's another case. But when that time, because I do it very early in the morning, it ruined my whole sadhana in the morning because, I mean, I was detached. I can see by being in spiritual life, I didn't become like devastated. I say I became annoyed, but I didn't really become devastated by it. But still enough to see that, yeah, this is what the world's doing. It's crushing our false ego. And that's what death is doing. The only thing in death, it's a full court, it's a full frontal attack. This is just little practices of, one second. One second. So it's little practices. You get practice. And it doesn't mean that good is nice. Good doesn't have to be nice. Training doesn't have to be nice. Getting revelation doesn't have to be nice. So it was this practice. It was this practice. And then it's interesting because I was speaking to Ghanisham many years, was a brahmachari in the Bhakti Center, got married, and then figured what was he trained for, and he took a course in being a chaplain at NYU Medical, and then got a job as the Hindu chaplain at New York Presbyterian. And he said that that when they asked Plato, to sum up the essence of his whole philosophy, he said two words: practice dying. Why should you practice something that's not beneficial? So we should become perfect in dying. And becoming perfect in dying it is learning how to tolerate and appreciate that we are not the controllers. That's practicing dying. And plus, we can do that also by devotion and by tapasya, despite the irrational impulses of the mind and senses. We continue in our service. We get those realizations. When you surrender to God and you do God's work and then you get the realization that God is there. God is there in our surrender to Him, not our control of the world. And we need to realize that because death will come. And will we be fearless? Will we have that confidence that God is there? Because the real pain of death is more psychological than physical. It's losing everything that we identify as me and mine, everything at once. And when we experience that without transcendental knowledge and the thought of experiencing that, when we don't have transcendental knowledge, it creates an incredible samskara, in the consciousness. And therefore, it is mentioned in the Yoga Sutras, in the Yoga Sutras, where it describes that one of the kleshas is clinging to life or fear of death. Kleshas are there's five psychological underpinnings of material consciousness. Psychological underpinnings of material consciousness. And that fortifies the false ego. That creates the material thoughts. That binds us to the body. That's what these psychological underpinnings are. Their attachment, aversion, is there's ignorance, avidya, ego, asmitya, there's attachment, aversion, and clinging to death. And it's such a powerful experience when you die. It's something you like less than anything you've ever experienced in the world. And therefore, it creates an aversion. Your conscience is so strong that in your next life, when you're a child, you're afraid of death, even though you haven't experienced it in that life and didn't even know what it is. It's a powerful samskara. So this practicing death is so important. By learning how to tolerate the will of God, which does not conform to our desires, learning how to love the will of God that doesn't conform to our desires, you know, in the Bhagavatam, it describes tate nukampam susamikshamano, that when reverses come and your attitude towards them is proper, that you actually see God's will and say, thank you. You get the kingdom of God. The whole thing is to live in the soul. Act on the soul. Live in the soul. So important. That's the goal of yoga. And living in the soul is the consciousness of service. And the consciousness of service is antithetical to the consciousness of control. The consciousness of service is there where your value in life is not how the world moves around you, but how you serve the world that's moving around you, which ultimately will come that the world is taking your body and you serve that by accepting that and using that to rid yourself of the false ego and to be situated in the soul. Hegel, and this is quoted by Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshaka Sridhar Maharaj, Hegel called this practicing dying as die to live. You die to live. You die in this life to live. Live means the soul. Death is the illusion of non-existence. To be free from that illusion is to love, is to live, and it's to love. So this is really an essential part of our philosophy in Krishna consciousness. It's an essential part of our teachings. The Gita, the whole 8th chapter, I got it wrong yesterday. End of the 7th chapter, there's so many questions and they're answered at the beginning of the 8th. And the one question about death, the whole 8th chapter is death. Is death tattva? Because unless at the time of death you become a servant of God, you get another body again. I sometimes joke, but it's not joking, is that my greatest fear is having to go to PS 200 in Brooklyn again. Yeah, it's my public school and PS 272. What is it? The next school and this, and then Canarsie High School, and growing up and the competition to sense gratification and not knowing who you are and struggling for identity. And who wants that again? My memory goes all the way back to my crib. I know exactly where it was. So this junction, and you know, it's whatever you think. Yam yam vap mishmanam bhavam tajantyam te kalevaram tam tame vaiti konte asuta. It's what you're thinking. It's what you're thinking. But thinking is not just something that happens, you know, you're able, okay, now let me focus. Thinking here is, the word is bhavas. It's what your consciousness is, what your mood is. Your mood does not depend on your thoughts. Of course, your thoughts can change your mood, but your mood is not dependent on your thoughts. You know, whatever your mood is at the time of death, that nature you will go. And anyway, you can determine at the time of death where your mind will be. By your dreaming. Because that's where the samskaras move around. The impressions in the mind move around without your control. And that's what will happen at death. When Prabhupada came back to Vrindavan, we there greeted him, and Brahmananda carried him in like they were holding the Pieta. He folded his hands and turned to us. There's only about five of us there, and he turned to us and he said, Krishna Tvadiya Parapankaja Pankarajam Madhyeva Me Vishatume. Let me die now. I quoted this verse many times. When the swan of my mind is entangled with the lotus of your feet, otherwise, at the time of death, how will I remember you? It won't be possible to remember you unless you've developed a bhava. A bhava, your core mood. Service. Now, the first thing we have to do is we have to confront this. We have to confront this reality that we'd rather avoid. We know that story of the pool of death with the last question asked by Yamaraj to Maharaj Yudhisthira. The last question that was asked. what is the most amazing thing in the whole world? Well, the most amazing thing is your father died, his father died, this person's father, everyone's father's father died. Yet we think we're not dying. We don't act with the truth like an ostrich with their head in the sand. We don't act with the truth. The most amazing thing, that nothing will protect us except getting out of illusion. The problem of death is the identification illusion we're in. Due to the desire to enjoy and control, which is a desire that can only be filled in illusion because it's beyond our constitution of who we are. And that's what life is teaching us, and that's what death is teaching us. I also tell that story of my grandfather, you know, who never went to a funeral his whole life. It's just his psychology. He wanted to deny. He wanted to deny. But as sure as death, time and tide wait for no man. So is it a blessing or is it a curse? It is a blessing or a curse? It's a curse for material consciousness. But for spiritual consciousness, it's a blessing. Because it's moving you in that direction. And once you give up control, to the extent that you see death as God's will, and you respond to it with your service, to bow your head to God and to perfect dying. You're practicing dying. Now perfect dying. Perfect dying. By dying in dignity, by dying with consciousness. Now we were in Prabhupada's room. There were just a few of us. Sannyasis were there. I wasn't a sannyasi. And he looked at a sannyasi. He said, "Don't think this won't happen to you. You know, I've turned around. I don't know. It's just the last year. I think I was an illusion. I'm 68 years old. 2 years, I'm going to be 70 years old." And time went like a second. I remember when Satsrup Marjan, and this is 38 years ago, he wrote this article that he was going to be 40 years old. And I said, how can anybody be so old? Now most of my disciples are over 40. Raghunath is over 50. Sachisut is over 50. So it's God speaking. The sore knees, the heart of hearing. It's God speaking. Saying, you know, this is temporary. Don't invest in this. Invest in the eternal. Realize the soul. You know, and in the class, I ended with some really good examples. Of course, I told the story of Mother Gauri, the great lady Vaishnava, God sister, who, with about seven or eight other God sisters in L.A., they were dedicated to distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, which is great compassion and a great austerity. And they would do it like 8 to 10 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you know, they had this inner happiness to them that they weren't allured by the false ego that you'll only be happy when you have the control and you're a juror. They were happy as servants of God. And she got stage 4 cancer and they brought it to Vrindavan. And we started to read to her. And as her body was going down, her consciousness was going up. We were reading Chaitanya Charitamrita to her. And then the Ayurvedic doctor came in and said, disease is finished. You have disease is finished. You have 1 hour left to live. And the puzzle was, disease is finished meant the real disease is not the change of body. The real disease is the ignorance which attaches you to the body and makes you suffer. Otherwise, death and old age and material disease are not diseases because they're not happening to you. The disease is the identification with the body. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Asochananda sochas tvam pragyavadam chabashase gatasu nagatasu chananda says, although you're speaking such learned words, Arjuna, you're a fool, because the wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. It doesn't mean that they're not compassionate, but the real grief they have for people is not not the change of body, but the ignorance that people have who are therefore identifying with the body. So this Mother Gauri, she was so dedicated to the soul and service. We saw that 1 hour she was conscious right up until the end. She was so transcendental. She was conscious. So as soon as you accept God's will in terms of death, death doesn't exist. Because death, or the illusion that attaches us to the body, is independent will. I saw that when this lady, Suchirani, business lady from Australia, her son's a very wonderful devotee, Ananda Tirtha. I saw when his mother was dying. She was struggling and she was in Vrindavan, maybe thinking going back, she's going to go back. And then as soon as her last hope was finished, she became peaceful. As soon as she surrendered to death and God's will, there was no death. So we had a lot of fun. And then because it's a wedding hall, beautiful old barn, 250 years old, huge heater. Then they had tables with cloths, and Krishna Kumari does such a wonderful job up here. And she with the lady Val. There was at least about six or seven people from here that were in Vrindavan, but more. Just from upstate, John and Katie and Mara and Mallory and Val, Derek, so many people have been to Vrindavan with me. And then we had some prasadam. It was wonderful. We sat down, and you know, people drove all the way up about 2.5 hours, and they went back, those people. Okay, so I understand when I say, are there anybody like to say hello, that many times the unmute button doesn't work. Would anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Jai, Hari Bo.
Hi, Bo.
Great. Okay.
Maharaj, I would like to offer.
What's that, Gail?
I would like to offer my, you know, many times I have a favorite line of the class, so I would like to offer
okay,
my favorite line. Is
what is it?
Thought or consciousness or mood that doesn't depend on our thoughts. I just love that today. Thank you.
You know, Gail, as we're talking about this subject, right, you know, you wrote me the letter that your mother-in-law passed away, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then how Krishna conscious she was, you know, how
yeah.
God conscious uh-huh. she was.
Yeah.
And it's a good example, even though her life was pain. What was her
yeah.
line that she always would chant in Latin? How do you pronounce that?
Oh, yeah, it was Italian. It was come Dio vuole. Whatever God wants.
Whatever God wants. That's the mantra.
Yes.
Come
yes.
Dio vuole.
Vuole.
I can't even. Gail, I can't even pronounce English, let alone Italian. Okay. Okay. Anybody
example,
else like, yeah. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hari Bol Maharaj, Chaitanya Priya. Thank you very much for a very interesting class.
Thank you so much, Hari Bol. Other people say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dr. Gopinath here. Good to hear from me from upstate.
I heard now for the first time about your house and how much Madhavananda loves staying there, and that you have the best kitchen in the world, and that it's minimalist and spotless. So I have to actually now see the house. I've never been there.
All right.
I'll have to see it. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anybody else say hello?
Hare Bol Maharaj.
Who's that?
It's Ati Sundari Radha and Kishori Radha.
Oh, Ati Sundari stayed with you? Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, why not, right? Get some
exactly.
more breathing air. I mean, Jersey doesn't give much, but it gives more than New York City. Okay. After all, it's the Garden State. Okay. And, you know, you heard the lecture again, but you can see how the thoughts become more solidified after giving the lecture. When you talk, your mind becomes
so
activated.
Over and over again. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that. There was pauses because I was taking notes as I was going. how I'll reorder the lecture. Okay. Okay, anybody else like to say hello? Hi, Bo. Haribo, I'm still going to have to make some time to come out there one day. We'll arrange that before I go back. We have to do a program there. Okay. Okay, anybody else? Say hello.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Stephanie in Washington.
Hey, Stephanie. You did a great job taking care in Washington. It was a great stay. Thank you.
Thank
okay.
you.
Anybody else say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Janine.
Janine, it was great to see you yesterday, too. Thank you. Okay, anybody else?
All right.
Okay, I'm going to go now. Bunch of culprits, you're abusive.